Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning, coming through the rain. And let's stand together, please. So glad that you're here with us in church this morning. And we're going to begin the morning with the celebration of water baptism. But let's go to the Lord together right now in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful grace of Jesus, for the power of your Spirit living within us today. Thank you, Lord, for new life today, for a new direction, new hope, a future in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for your presence with us here in the sanctuary this morning. We invite you, O God, to do your will, do your work in our lives this morning. We humbly acknowledge we need you so much today, Lord, and we thank you for your faithfulness to meet us every time we come together, Lord. And so we just give this service to you as an offering of our praise and our devotion. We pray, Holy Spirit, you would lead us and direct us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. We're going to celebrate water baptism, but before we do, are all of you being baptized as well this morning? Before we do, I found an old picture I thought I would show you this morning. Do we have the picture? We didn't have it in the first service. I think we have a picture. All right, take a look at this picture. And guess who that is? That is me being baptized when I was about 7 years old. Guess who that is? That's my twin brother Joel. And that is our pastor, Pastor B.G. Johnson. In those days, all the preachers' first names were initials. Reverend B.G. Johnson. And that, believe it or not, is a longtime member of our congregation here who went to be with the Lord a few years ago. That is a gentleman by the name of Gus Marsh. Some of you remember Gus. And so that is proof, though you don't see me going under the water, that is proof that I was baptized in water. And as we celebrate water baptism today, we're recognizing that water baptism is a picture, a spiritual picture of dying to the old life and being raised to new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And water baptism is commanded for Christians. Jesus himself was baptized in water as an example for us. And what a joy it is to be able to celebrate the new life we have in Jesus. Could you say amen? Pastor Lisa is leading us today. And Pastor Lisa, take it over.
It is my great honor and privilege to get to baptize Lucas Willauer. He has been a part of our congregation for a long time. He's a little bit shy, but he's tall enough that you can see him. So face the congregation. This is Lucas. He came to me Friday and said, can you baptize me on Sunday? And I said, let me see if Harold can get the water in. And he did, and it's warm, and hallelujah. So, Lucas, I have a couple questions. Don't sit down yet. They want to hear you say this. Do you love Jesus with all your heart?
Yes.
Are you committing your life to serve him for the entirety of your life?
Yes.
All right. Lucas, I'll put you in the water in a minute, but I must say it on the microphone. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You heard Pastor Lisa say, all the way down, all the way down. That's because a couple weeks ago I said, Lisa, you didn't get that person all the way under. How many of you know when you're going in with Jesus, you got to go all the way? Yes. So thank God. Congratulations, Lucas. And welcome everybody again to church. Let's worship the Lord together this morning. Come on, Heidi.
I'm numbered.
'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. confident. I see it again and again. You love and I witnessed it. You heal and I witnessed it.
Yes.
You save and I witnessed it. Yes, I'm confident. I see it again and again. You're good and I witnessed it. Oh, you're strong and I witnessed it. You're constant, I witnessed it. And I'm confident. I see it again.
Oh, sing it.
You love and I witnessed it. You heal it.
Father, we trust you in this house. You are the God of yesterday, today, and forever. We trust you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing that chorus one more time.
I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you breathe life within. So I pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I live to tell. So I pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all.
Thank you, Janet. You have something to share this morning. Thank you, Lord.
So while Rich and I were driving here to church today, we were just talking about different things in our lives, and I told him that there was our dogs are at our house are on an electric fence, and about how that all it takes is just a few times of them hitting the border of that and getting shocked, that they realize that they don't want to go outside of the bounds of what's intended for them. And they run back up and they wanted to just stay on the porch up close to our house. And I've just felt like this morning that there's someone here that you've went outside of the bounds of what God has intended for you. And you're feeling the sting of that sin in your heart. And that God is wanting you to come back up onto the house, to the house. That he has got his love there for you. He doesn't want you crossing that line and going across that bound. And the other thing that I just kept hearing was that verse in the Bible says that draw near to me and I'll draw near yes. to you. And that he's just wanting you to draw near to him. And that he's just pleading with you to not harden yourself against him, but to see that when you are going outside of his bounds and into sin, that is just, it's bringing pain and it's wreaking havoc in your life.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's respond right now to the Lord by just drawing near to the Lord in our hearts. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for drawing us to yourself, Lord, for loving us, for loving us even when we have strayed from you, when we have stumbled, when we have fallen. Thank you, Lord, that you, like the father of the prodigal son, look to call us back to yourself, Lord. We thank you that you love us with a powerful and an everlasting love. So, Father, for those this morning to whom this word is specifically dealing, I pray they would respond, Lord. May we soften our hearts and yield our hearts to you this morning, Lord. And may we recognize that the best place in the world is at home with our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus. Let us realize that's the place of joy, that's the place of peace, that's the place of blessing, that's the place of provision. So, Lord, we respond today to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's continue to worship the Lord together as we look to the Lord together, look to the Lamb.
To him.
Lift our hearts and our hands for just a moment in the sanctuary and give thanks to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 134 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And let's offer a blessing to him right now. We worship you, praise you, thank you, Lord, for who you are, for all you've done in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your record of faithfulness, Lord, to us down through the years. We pray in Jesus' name that we would continue to draw closer and closer to you, feasting upon your presence, O God, as you provide our daily bread. We recognize that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So, Lord, feed us not only in the natural, but feed us in the spiritual with your presence and your good word, we pray. And, Lord, as we open up the scriptures today, I pray, Lord, you speak a word to our hearts this morning to remind us that you are calling us to come to you regularly, that you love us, you long, O Lord, to stand face to face with us and to meet us at our point of need. Help us, Lord, to be able this morning to cast all of our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us, O Lord. And experience, O God, afresh and anew that sweet peace that surpasses understanding, and the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Flood our hearts with your presence and your goodness today, we pray. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen, 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 amen. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. And let's look to the Word of God together, please, everyone. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. We wish a happy vacation to Pastor Bob and Pastor Deanna today. You know, for a long time we had a policy that no more than one pastor could be on vacation at the same time. But when we hired Deanna on to the pastoral staff, how many of you know that complicated that policy? Yes, a little bit. I said to that when that first came into being, I said to Bob and Deanna, I said, well, you know, this will be good, but I said there are gonna be some drawbacks to this. One of the drawbacks is, you know, no two pastors can be on vacation at the same time. So I'm afraid the two of you will never be able to take a vacation together again. How many of you know that did not fly? Yeah, that was a joke anyway. And so they are in Destin, Florida, and I hear they are going shark hunting. And is that right, Rena? They are going, Rena's down there. That's Rena's sister over there. We got to get things sorted out here. But they are gone shark hunting down there. And does anybody remember several years ago when Hannah, Bob and Deanna's daughter, when Hannah actually caught a shark? Anybody remember that? And I showed the picture of that shark and of Hannah, kneeling beside that shark in victory. And do you know what? Hudson has hated me ever since. Because he didn't catch the shark. No, that's been a long-standing feud between me and Hudson, because I declared that Hannah caught the shark and where was Hudson? Well, I hear that Hudson is giving it a renewed effort to catch a shark for himself. Everybody say, oh Lord, please help poor Hudson to catch a shark. and redeem his place in the family. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to be with you in church this morning, and thankful for the rain that nourishes the earth, and thankful for the rain of the Spirit that nourishes our lives. Amen. Today, we're continuing our series through the miracles of Jesus. This is lesson number 11 in this series as we come to a familiar story in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest of all the Gospels. In fact, there are many similarities between the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark. The three synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And John is its own brand of gospel. John the apostle was a different kind of a writer and a different kind of an apostle, really. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospels, which means they sort of cover the same events over and over again. There are many parallels between those three gospels. The gospel of Matthew and Mark especially share a lot of similarities. The big difference, length. Matthew is 28 chapters. Mark is 16 chapters. Mark knew how to say something and say it quickly. And many of the stories, and how many of you are already saying Pastor Lowell could learn a lot from Mark, if that's the case? I know. As you say, we got a Matthew pastor. We need a Mark pastor. All right. Mark was a passionate storyteller as he told the stories of the ministry of Jesus, but his accounts were often briefer and more to the point. And the Gospel of Mark is an action-packed gospel, as Mark goes for the details. And so the story we read in Scripture today is not long, but it is filled with lots of action. It's the story of the healing of blind Bartimaeus. Our title this morning, Cheer Up, He's Calling You. Cheer up, He's calling you. Have any of you ever called upon the Lord in your life? Any of you ever called upon the Lord, asking the Lord to help you? Well, the good news in this story today is that while we're calling upon the Lord is calling us to himself. That is the good news of the grace of God today. So let's read today at Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, Bartimaeus jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And everybody said amen. Amen. Today we look at the story of a man who had no other options or remedies in his life. He was in a desperate and difficult situation. But thank God, as he's sitting by the roadside one day, along comes Jesus of Nazareth. How many of you know when Jesus gets involved in our lives, everything is about to change? Say amen. And as Jesus approaches Jericho that day and makes his way through the city, as he is exiting the city, he comes across a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Now, the name Bartimaeus simply means he's the son of Timaeus. And here he is at the side of the road begging. When Jesus comes along, he calls out to Jesus. Jesus answers, and that man's life would never be the same again. We'll look at the story this morning in four chapters. We think about, number one, his double despair. Secondly, we're going to think about his desperate determination. Third, we're going to think about his divine deliverance. And fourthly, we're going to talk about his debtor's devotion as the miracle concludes and Bartimaeus begins a brand new life as a follower of Jesus Christ. We start by examining this blind man's condition, and we call this condition a double despair. Bartimaeus was blind, and Bartimaeus was begging. Look at verse number 46. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, son of Timaeus, was there. And Jesus comes across the blind man, and he sort of passes by. In fact, in one of the other parallel accounts of this story, the scripture says the crowd says to him, he says, what's going on? And the crowd says to him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Passing by. Well, years ago, one of our retired ministers who's now gone home to be with the Lord said to me, because we used to sing an old song when I grew up as a kid that said, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to answer your cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Old Dr. Brewer, one of our favorite old preachers who is in heaven with the Lord now, used to say, I don't like that song because the reality is Jesus is not passing by. Jesus has come into our lives to stay. How many of you would agree with that theology? Say amen. But on this occasion, Jesus was ministering in the natural. He is there. He's ministering in the natural and the supernatural, but he's walking in the physical through the city of Jericho and out of the city, and he comes across this blind man there on the outskirts of the city of Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. This is an important location. The city of Jericho, by the way, is the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world, an ancient city. And Jericho has quite a history. It has a history in Bible prophecy. And when we think about the city of Jericho, we think not only of this miracle of the healing of blind Bartimaeus. In fact, that's not really what the city of Jericho is most famous for. When we think about the city of Jericho, what comes to our mind? Joshua, who fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. We think about that great miracle that took place in 1400 BC, 1400 years before Jesus. The city of Jericho was a place of the miraculous. In fact, it was there at Jericho where God demonstrated to his people that not only could he bring them out of a desperate situation. Are you listening? Not only could God bring them out of a desperate situation, but he could also bring them into a place of blessing and a place of prosperity. How many of you know God can bring you out and God can bring you in? And that's the kind of God we serve. He is a God who, when the Israelites marched across the Jordan River and into the promised land, God caused the walls of Jericho to fall down flat before the people of God so the people of God could inherit the land of promise that he had given them. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them into the promised land. How many of you here today, you're glad he's brought you out of Egypt and you want to get into the promised land? Land. Say amen. And that's the kind of God that Jericho proved God to be. Now we come across Jesus at Jericho 1400 plus years later, 33 AD, maybe 30 AD if we were to fix the calendar a little bit. And here comes Jesus through the city of Jericho. And he finds blind Bartimaeus. He finds Bartimaeus there beside the road. And Bartimaeus was blind and Bartimaeus was begging. Verse 46, he was sitting by the roadside begging. Blind and begging, that's his double despair. He was at at a terrible place in life. No finances, no family caring for him, and there he is by himself at the roadside, no future in mind, bound in hopelessness and doomed to despair and imprisoned by his lot in life. That's where people often find themselves, imprisoned by their lot in life. Do you know that life often deals us some very difficult situations? The truth is people find themselves in places many times by no fault of their own, but because of the difficulties of life in this world, people find themselves hopeless and hurting. Such was the case for blind Bartimaeus, but Jesus comes along that day and blind Bartimaeus hears the word, Jesus of Nazareth is coming this way. And Bartimaeus began to cry out to the Lord. We'll call that chapter number 2, a desperate determination. As Jesus passed by, Bartimaeus, blind beggar, began to shout out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What do we know about that shout? Well, we know that he was shouting in faith. He heard Jesus was coming by, and though Bartimaeus may have been blind, he had no trouble with his hearing. He had heard about Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. He understood that Jesus was a miracle worker, and he understood that if Jesus was passing his way, this was his one opportunity to get the touch of God and receive the miracle that he needed in life. Listen, if it were true that Jesus were only passing by us once in a while, then I don't know about you, but on the moment, at the moment, on the day that he was passing by, I would be sure to be in church. Wouldn't you? To touch Jesus. And Bartimaeus heard Jesus was passing by, he began to shout. This was a confident shout. He knew Jesus could change his situation. And this was a crowning shout. As Bartimaeus gives a title to Jesus, Bartimaeus says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Bartimaeus called Jesus the Son of David, he was basically declaring that he believed Jesus was the Messiah. That he was the Son of David meant that he was the one who had come in the kingly line of King David, who now had the power, the authority of God to bring deliverance and help and to establish the kingdom of God in the hearts and lives of people. And Bartimaeus believed in Jesus. It's remarkable to see the level of faith in this blind beggar. He believed Jesus could heal him, and he believed Jesus was God's Messiah sent into this world. A powerful faith marked Bartimaeus' life that day. He shouted in faith, and he shouted for favor. Notice verse 47. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Everybody say mercy. That word mercy is a key ingredient to Bartimaeus' plea that day. Because the truth is, sometimes we want to plead our case when we ought to plead for mercy. How many of you are glad that in general in life you have not received what you deserve to receive? Because the wages of sin is death, we said it Wednesday night, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All of us deserve punishment and penalty, but thank God for his amazing grace. Would you say amen? And everything we receive from God is a gift of God's mercy and grace. We don't deserve any of it. That's why Jesus died, so that we might get what we never deserved. Hallelujah. That is our salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, the healing of our bodies, the presence of the Holy Spirit living in our lives, the provision of God on a daily basis. Everything that we enjoy not because we deserved it or earned it. We enjoy it because God's great love and grace and mercy has reached out to us. And so Bartimaeus was crying out with words that would catch the ear. Do you know that our Lord is attracted to humility? And Bartimaeus says, have mercy on me. And that cry for mercy is about to catch Jesus' attention. He shouted in faith, he shouted for favor, and he shouted with fervency. Verse 48 says, many in the crowd rebuked him. Here he is crying out for healing, and many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. We hear in this story the callous critics who are telling Bartimaeus to be quiet. Shut up over there. You know, I just wonder what their motivation was, because how many of you know they all knew that Bartimaeus, that Jesus was a miracle worker. And here's Bartimaeus crying out for help from Jesus. You'll wonder why they didn't all rally together to try to get the man to Jesus. In other stories we've examined thus far, we've seen friends bring those with needs to the Lord Jesus. On this day, the crowd was fighting against Bartimaeus. He's trying to get the attention of Jesus, but the crowd is fighting against him. Be quiet, they said. Don't bother the master. And they tried to shut him down. We don't know why. Maybe they thought this is not the right time, this is not the right setting. Maybe they thought Bartimaeus was not the right kind of person. Whatever their reason, they're trying to shut it all down. But Bartimaeus continues to cry out to the Lord Jesus. He would not be silenced by the crowd that day. His faith rose and roared out of him. I love this expression, that as they tried to get him to quiet down, Bartimaeus, listen to this, cried out all the more. Everybody say all the more. Now, hear me now. Sometimes we have sought the Lord for help in our times of trouble. We become discouraged. We become disappointed, perhaps, that the answer hasn't come like we wanted it. Sometimes we become so discouraged that we just sort of lay aside those prayers and just sort of back off on calling upon the Lord. But how many of you know, as Christian believers who believe in the power of Jesus, we need to be all the more people, say amen, amen, who cry out to the Lord all the more. Look at me, friends. When discouragement comes your way, it's time not to lessen up, but to press down and to press in to the Lord. Because the Lord desires that kind of fervent faith. And Bartimaeus cries out all the more to the Lord Jesus. As they're talking to him, I can imagine Bartimaeus thinking to himself, well, I'm not, these people are telling me to shut up, but I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to Jesus. You know, I hear this every once in a while. In fact, I heard it on the news the other day. Somebody said, we're sending out our prayers to you. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I'm sending out my prayers to you. Listen, don't send your prayers out to me, because I'm not a prayer answerer. We're not sending prayers to people. Our prayers are being directed to the Lord. Would you say amen? We pray for people. We don't pray to people. And as they're trying to shut Bartimaeus down, Bartimaeus focuses his attention past all of those voices that are trying to shut him down and focus his attention on trying to get the attention of Jesus, the one who can make all the difference in his life. You know, sometimes there are a lot of voices that are speaking into our lives with all kinds of messages. When I was a kid and people were praying to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, some of you have seen this. We'd see people at the altar praying with others to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And some people were saying, hold on, hold on, hold on. And on the other side was somebody saying, let go, let go, let go. How many of you know all that's confusing? There are a lot of mixed messages. We hear people, sometimes we're seeking the Lord for some miraculous intervention in our lives, and our best friends will say to us, well, God doesn't work that way anymore. You can't expect those kinds of things from the... Listen, you can hear every imaginable take on your situation, but I want you to know this morning, God is a God who is available to you personally. And listen, you can pray right past the voices that are speaking into your head, and you can get to God for yourself. Hallelujah. Jesus is available. And Bartimaeus cries right past those discouraging voices, and he calls out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus heard his cry. That brings us to chapter number 3 in the story, a divine deliverance. As Jesus stopped and summoned Bartimaeus. Verse 49 says, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Now, isn't that just like how they changed their tune so quickly? Just a moment ago, they were saying, shut up. Now they're saying, cheer up. Isn't the crowd fickle? I told you sometime back that I preached a message years ago entitled, Follow the Cloud, Not the Crowd. The cloud of God's presence. Because the crowd is so fickle. One moment they're saying to Bartimaeus, shut up. And the next moment they're saying, cheer up. That's why we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Would you say amen? And now they're saying, cheer up, he's calling you. He's calling you. So throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Note Bartimaeus' royal reception. He's acknowledged Jesus as king, and now Jesus says, come on over. Come on down. Come on into my presence. And Bartimaeus moves toward Jesus. Note his rapid response. Bartimaeus did not dilly-dally or fool around. He moved into action. He threw his cloak aside. He jumped up, jumped to his feet, and he moved in close to Jesus. He did not linger when Jesus called him. Are you here? My favorite sermon, perhaps of all times. Well, let me say my favorite sermon title of all time. Is a sermon preached years ago about the story of the plague of frogs upon the Egyptians. Remember when the Israelites were trying to come out of Egypt? And Moses said to Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh resisted. And so God began to pour out plagues upon Egypt to show them a lesson and to punish them for imprisoning his people. There was the plague of dust, the plague of blood, the plague of gnats. I mean, the plagues were just terrible. One of the plagues, my favorite plague, if I can say that, was the plague of frogs. It was a terrible plague. Frogs came up everywhere in the land of Egypt. Frogs came up into their yards. Frogs came up into their houses. How many of you, what would you think if you got home from church today and there were 1,000 frogs in your basement? How many of you would move quickly? The plague of frogs was terrible. So Pharaoh called Moses into his presence and says, oh, I've learned my lesson. Pray for me and pray for us that the frogs will leave. And Moses said, okay, when do you want the frogs to leave? Pharaoh said, tomorrow. How many of you know that's the dumbest answer in the Bible? The sermon I heard preached on that passage was entitled, Another Night with the Frogs. How many of you know that if the Lord says to you one day, how soon do you want it? The answer should be as soon as possible. How many of you want the blessing of the Lord right now? Say amen. Amen. You know, I have a personality that's a little obsessive compulsive, so if some of you didn't know that already. And when I want something done or want something changed, I want it right this minute. You know, and when it comes to spiritual things, how many of you know when it comes to getting the blessing of the Lord or the deliverance of the Lord or the help of the Lord, we ought not delay. We ought to get it, move into action and get the blessing of the Lord as quickly as we can get it. Say amen. God's timing is not always our timing, but certainly we don't want to delay the work of God in our lives by dilly-dallying around. And so I love the response of blind Bartimaeus in this miracle story. The scripture says he threw his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, and he came to Jesus. He moved right in and got to the Lord Jesus. And as he got to Jesus, Jesus solicited specifics from him. Notice verse 51, a strange question. Jesus is always asking strange questions. And listen to what Jesus asked him. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Now we would think to ourselves, shouldn't the Son of God, who is right there, the miracle-working Son of God, who shouldn't Jesus already know what he wanted, what he needed? Here he is, a blind man, begging by the roadside, and yet Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus is asking for specific faith and specific prayers, specific requests from Bartimaeus. And Jesus knew the need, but he wanted Bartimaeus to express himself and declare what he wanted. You know, is everybody awake today? Say amen. Amen. You know, sometimes we pray like this, Lord, bless my church, and Lord, bless my brother, and Lord, bless Susie, and Lord, bless John. Well, you know, the Lord knows what blessings we need, but if anything in this scripture, Jesus teaches us that he wants us to ask him specifically for what we need. Can I recommend a book to you? Can I recommend a book to you? The Bible. No, I'm just kidding. That would be my first recommendation, the Bible. Okay, but let me recommend another book that I found over 30 years ago. In fact, I got my first copy, was given to me by a lady in our church. She might be up there, by the name of Evelyn Holland. A little book, it was a little book in those days. Now it's a big book entitled Prayers That Avail Much. Have any of you ever heard of that little book, that book? Prayers That Avail Much by a lady named Germaine Copeland. It's a powerful book because what she has done through the years, she's a spirit-filled lady preacher, teacher, and she has written out extensive, specific prayers relating to every imaginable kind of need. Do you have a child who is straying away from the Lord and you're praying that child will come home? All right, there's a prayer. She's written a prayer for that. Do you need healing for some particular? She's written And those prayers, now we know how to pray. We don't need to read somebody else's prayers. But she helps to provide an outline and a thought process so that we will ask the Lord with specificity and declare his promises and root it all in scripture and pray and say, Lord, here is what I need today. And I'm going to pray for this answer in every imaginable way that I can figure out to pray. You know what? If I were here today and I were struggling with some situation and I hadn't received the answer yet, I would continue to pray. Listen, I would continue to pray. I would pray through seasons of discouragement. I would pray through seasons of lack of understanding. I would pray when other people didn't want me to. I would continue to pray, and I would pray in every imaginable way possible. I would continue to trust the Lord and seek the Lord and stand upon his word and dig out the promises of his word and get, I would determine, I'm going to touch the Lord in this. And the Lord Jesus said, Bartimaeus, what do you want? And Bartimaeus answered, Lord, I want to see. And as he made that request known to Jesus, Jesus supplied sight to Bartimaeus. Verse 52, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight. Now, this is not the first time in the scriptures where we hear Jesus say to someone, your faith has healed you. Everybody say that with me. Your faith has healed you. Say it out loud. Your faith has healed you. But we've got to understand that in the context in which Jesus is ministering. The faith of Bartimaeus was powerful because it was faith in the Lord Jesus. Are you here? Faith by itself is nothing if it's not directed in and attached to something. And the faith of Bartimaeus was powerful because his faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he expressed that faith, Jesus says, your faith has healed you. And Bartimaeus was healed. And Bartimaeus developed that day, chapter number 4 of our story, a debtor's devotion. First of all, he received a new focus from Jesus. Verse 52 says, immediately he received his sight. There are at least 7 blind men in the Gospels who were healed by the Lord Jesus. Jesus gave their sight to them. 7 blind men. Bartimaeus was one of them. At least 7 specified. But you know, the Gospels declare that there were many, many other miraculous deeds that Jesus did that were not recorded specifically in the pages of Scripture. So I think we could be safe to assume, because, you know, the healing of blindness was one of Jesus' primary miracles. And even Jesus in Luke chapter 4 said, the Lord has called me to open the eyes of the blind. So I think we would be safe in assuming that there were many blind people in Jesus' day whom Jesus gave back their sight. But Jesus often used the illustration of physical blindness to paint a picture about spiritual blindness. And Jesus would say, you need to open up your eyes and see who I am and what I want to do for you. You need to look at the light of the world, Jesus says, and come into fellowship with me. We sing the old song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Probably none of us in the room today were physically blind, but we were spiritually blind. We couldn't tell our right hand from our left hand. We couldn't tell which way we were going in life. We didn't know what was going on, but thank God for the light of Jesus that opens up the truth to us so that we can walk in a brand new direction and live in the blessing and the plan of God. Amen. So he received a new focus, and he received a new future as a follower of Jesus. Verse 52 says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Make this note. Jesus told Bartimaeus to go. He said, go. Your faith has healed you. Go. Bartimaeus chose, rather than going, to follow Jesus along the road and to begin a brand new life as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, most of the miracles in the pages of Scripture are about unnamed people. We don't know the name of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment, do we? We don't know the name of the deaf man whom Jesus opened his ear. We don't know the name of most of the people who received miracles from Jesus. But this man in the Scriptures is named for us. His name is Bartimaeus. We will remember his name forever. You know, most commentators will tell you that because Bartimaeus is named in this story, it is likely that he became a known follower of Jesus in the early Christian church. His testimony rang out. I'm the blind man. I was blind, but now I see. My name is Bartimaeus. I was begging and blind on the roadside one day, but Jesus of Nazareth came by and changed my life forever. Bartimaeus gained a powerful testimony of new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus has come your way? Huh? And has given us new sight, new life, new direction. And so we close this morning with 3 simple notes from this miracle. Number 1, your troubles in life may be complicated and compounded, but Jesus can bring miracles into the midst of the misery. So call out to him. Do you have a pressing need to? How many of you here have a pressing need today in some area of your life? Come on, come on, come on. How many of you need something from the Lord? I do right this minute. I need the Lord, don't you? If you're here and say, well, I don't need anything from the Lord, well, man, tell me your secret. Get up, you preach next Sunday. So I don't need anything from the Lord. Come on up and take over the service. No, we stand in need of the Lord all the time. How many of you are glad the Lord is available to us in our times of need? Say amen. Amen. And after all, Jesus has taught us to ask the Father for our daily bread, right? We're going to keep on coming to Jesus. So if you need a miracle from the Lord, and last Sunday morning, we just sort of tried to demystify that word miracle. Sometimes people are turned off by the word miracle, but the reality is if you have a situation where you need God to move in your life, that's all you need to say. God, I need you to move in my life. I need you to answer my prayer. I need you to help me, to heal me, to come close to me, to touch me where I hurt the most, Lord. I need you. Call to the Lord. Number two, no one understands your desperation as well as you yourself and the Lord. So don't be hindered from getting to Jesus by friends or by foes. Are you here? Get to Jesus. Call out to Jesus. Have faith and trust the Lord even when others would speak discouraging words into your life. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. And be passionate about calling upon the Lord Jesus. Don't be hindered. And number three, in every season and every struggle, Jesus is calling you to himself. So cheer up, throw your baggage aside, jump up, and get to Jesus right now. Amen? Don't dilly-dally around, right? Don't spend another night with the frogs, right? Call to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I'm ready. How many of you are ready for a touch from the Lord Jesus even this morning? Say a good amen. I'm so grateful this morning that Jesus has promised where two or three of us would gather together in his name. Stand, everybody. Where two or three of us would be gathered together in his name, his presence would be here in our midst. I'm here to tell you this morning, the presence of the Lord Jesus is here today.